Good morning, everyone. Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from God, our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. For the past few weeks, we've been reading sections from the book of Acts. Those readings have been leading up to the event that we celebrated last week, the sending of the Holy Spirit upon the disciples on the day of Pentecost. But the Pentecost event didn't just happen 2,000 years ago. It happens again and again whenever a person comes to faith in Jesus. The Holy Spirit comes to that person and miraculously creates life and faith in a spiritually dead heart. Today's epistle from Acts is a portion of Peter's sermon to the people on that Pentecost day, which resulted in some 3,000 people coming to faith. That reading focuses our hearts on what we observe today, the festival of the Holy Trinity. This day is set aside to remind us that God has revealed himself as three distinct persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in one divine being. This doctrine isn't easily understood. In fact, it's truly impossible to fully understand with our human minds. Rather, as God's people, we confess it to be true, even though we may not understand it completely, because it is how he has revealed himself in his word. But today, rather than focusing on this doctrine that is so difficult to understand, let's focus on the promise that our triune God gives to all of us who look to him in faith. Listen to the verses which come right after those heard earlier, beginning at verse 37. Now, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the disciples, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." Now, in our culture, particularly American culture, marketing is hugely important. Everyone is trying to sell you something. And everyone that's trying to sell you something is trying to find a way to convince you that you need to try their product. Nothing is more important to them to get you to try it, because once they get you to try it, you might try it again. And a huge part of that has to do with the name of the product. So think of the names of some popular things that you might enjoy and buy. You call a car a Mustang because it gives the driver a mental image of riding some untamed horse off to adventure. Think of the Holiday Inn, Holiday, a rest from the responsibilities of everyday life. You know, even a couple of years ago, Budweiser beer, during the election year of 2016, they changed the name of their beer to America. And they put words from the Star Spangled Banner on the cans. Now, according to the spokesman, that was meant to inspire the beer drinkers to celebrate America and also to share in Budweiser's shared values of freedom and authenticity. There is even a margarine that supposedly combines good health with good taste. Margarine? Good taste? No. And it's marketed under the inviting name Promise. Now, I'm not a margarine guy, you can tell. So, but the name is intriguing. The word promise speaks to commitment, a determination to deliver on what is advertised. Promise margarine should be the one margarine that you buy that you can trust to provide a great buttery flavor with heart-healthy benefits. The name promise sounds like a guarantee about the quality of the margarine. Well, that same word promise is central to what Peter is telling us today. It speaks to the dependability, the guarantee, something that we can be sure of. The essence of Peter's words are God's promise of mercy and forgiveness in Christ, as he declares that this gift is for you and for your children and all who are far off. Every Sunday, we come here and our focus is on the work of our Savior Jesus Christ. And that was the focus of Peter on that Pentecost day. Christ is the focus of God's promise since our first sin in Eden, and that promise relates to the coming of the Holy Spirit. It relates to baptism. It relates to every conversation that we have about Jesus with people wherever we are. This promise is for you, Peter said to those Jews listening to him in Jerusalem that day. But only a few seconds earlier, he had cut them to the heart with the words, "Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." If there were any doubt in their minds about the identity of Jesus after the events of Easter, Peter dispelled that doubt with these words. And the coming of the Holy Spirit that day testified to the truth of what he said. The one whose blood the people demanded, the one they taunted and tormented, the one they put to death was the Savior sent from God. Their forefathers had longed to see him, and when he finally came, they put him to death. But before we point those fingers at they, think about what we do. In Advent and at Christmas time, we sing, "Savior of the nations, come, virgin son, make here your home." Or, "Come Emmanuel and ransom captive Israel that mourns in exile here until the Son of God appears. Rejoice." But how long does that rejoicing and our dedication last? It is fitting that we return from the beauty of Christmas to the penitence of Lent so quickly, because even though we are longing for that Savior and that King, when he shows up, we so often reject his claim on our lives and exchange it for a different lordship, our own lordship over our lives. Peter's words 2,000 years ago are pointed towards us, just as they were to those Jews on Pentecost, because they are so true. This Jesus, you and me, crucified. Peter's words remind us to focus on the fact that the one who hung on that cross, the promise of the ages, didn't just come for the Jews. He came for us. It was our sins that were on his heart as he made that long walk to Golgotha. And yet, with those on that first Pentecost day, we hear the unbelievable news. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That promise is for you. And despite the fact that we don't deserve God's mercy or forgiveness any more than those people who watched Jesus die and stood at the foot of his cross or mocked him, or took lots for his clothes, that wonderful news proclaims the promise is for us. Though the sins that we've committed and the sins that we continue to commit caused the death of Jesus Christ, that death has earned forgiveness for us. The Spirit who came on Pentecost comes to show us our sin and turn us to the Father, so that we might receive the Father's mercy in the name of his Son, Jesus. All three persons of that triune God work in harmony to give us exactly what we don't deserve. And notice what God says to those of us who are parents. The promise is for you and your children. The baptism that Peter urges is also where our children, that next generation of believers, meet the Lord and experience adoption as his sons and daughters. And we can give our children a lot of stuff, but this is something we could not give them. We could never give them a life and a joy that lasts forever. But God's promise of love is for us extends to our children. And like us, our children are born cut off from God at birth. As David confessed, Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother did conceive me. But our children are precious to God. And in his love, he bathes them with forgiveness at the baptismal font. What seems like a simple, symbolic act to a lot of people is, in fact, the forgiveness of sins for our children, the drowning of their old nature, and the placing of God's name on them. The Spirit of God creates faith in their hearts, and they receive the promise of him who is the way, the truth, and the life. Peter also tells us about that promise, that the promise is for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. As hard as that Trinity is to understand, think about this. God freely offers his mercy and forgiveness to all mankind. There is no limit to his love in Christ. I was thinking about that this morning. This isn't in the notes. There's 7.5 billion people on this planet. And all the people that came before him, before the 7.5 billion people on this planet. And every single one of us is a sinner. And God does not desire for a single one of us to be left behind. He desires for all of us to enjoy life and joy forever with him. He doesn't just reserve heaven for his favorites. It's not just David, Abraham, and Moses, and James, and John hanging out. Nope, he actually desires for all people everywhere and in all time to be saved. And that message was announced as the angels sang to the shepherds. I bring you good news of great joy that is for all the people. And those shepherds, they couldn't keep the news to themselves, but they told everybody that they could about this incredible truth. So did the disciples after his death, resurrection, and ascension. They said that they had to speak about what they had seen and heard. And St. Paul declared that Christ's love compelled him to speak. And down through the ages, people have passed on that good news to those around them. And now, that responsibility is passed on to us. Think about it. Today, people hear the promises of advertisers in their ears and on their phones and on their screens until their eyes and ears are aching. And every new product carries its own individual promise. These shoes will help you outrun the competition. This makeup or perfume will make you truly feminine. This diet plan will give you the perfect body in only 9 weeks. And promise margarine promises to keep your heart healthy. But even that promise and the promises of all those other things will fade in time. Now, if you're like me, which I know a lot of you are, you probably realize something about food. Whether it's margarine or lean meat, whatever that is. Food with lots of fat and calories tastes way better than food without. And that promise that God gave us at Pentecost that was fulfilled in Christ and given to us by the Holy Spirit wasn't Bud Light, and it wasn't promised margarine. No. Think about the feast laid out in Isaiah 25. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, rich food full of marrow, and aged wine well-refined. Not promised margarine. And the thing about this promise is it doesn't pack on the pounds like it would in this day and age, but it makes us overflow with joy. This promise, attached to the word, attached to the sacraments, it never disappoints. And we are both privileged to have it and privileged to share it. Christ has given you and me the privilege of sharing his promise of mercy. Nothing else can better demonstrate your love or concern for your neighbor. The same gift you want your children and grandchildren to know can also belong to your friends and neighbors and coworkers. The Spirit of God has promised to work through the word as you speak. And believe it or not, even though we have less formal training, we have a greater opportunity than even Pastor Brooks. Most of the people that he associates with, us, we're the proverbial choir that he preaches to. We're We're already saved. We're on our way to heaven. But our circles extend out beyond these walls into our community and our places of work and include so many people who need to know the Lord. That promise of Acts 2 wasn't intended just for those Jews who heard Peter that day, or even just us, or even just our children. That promise is for all who hear the invitation of God through your words and mine. My challenge to you as missionaries in this world is that you share what you have where you can. This is our responsibility, but it is also our great joy. And remember, the results are not our responsibility, so don't put that pressure on yourself. That responsibility belongs to the Holy Spirit. And you and I are simply called to spread the seed of His word. But the harvest is directly proportional to the amount of seed that we spread. So, spread it liberally. Amen.